The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
We got a real live quarterback battle in the SEC. And I think I know who the coach wants to win. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday, and I got to tell y'all, folks, this is one thing I love about this job, is I've always talked about the Peter King theory, and that's in relation to the NFL. But the Peter King theory, in short, is, you know, Peter King's been covering the NFL for, I bet, a minimum of 35 years. I bet closer to 40 is what I'm going to guess. And he's old school, as in confirm, third confirm. Okay, we'll go with it. And he's always right. And he has so much credibility that he can get the third confirmation from, like, all right, I got three GMs in the NFL to confirm, like, rule vote or, you know, whatever. I was like, all right, well, if you talk to 10% of the NFL GMs and they all three said the same thing, good enough for me, Peter. Peter knows everybody. And I can say Peter knows everything, but that's not actually true. He covers the entire NFL, and I'm going to say, as an individual, he probably does it as well as anybody. You can find, you know, a bunch of others who do it as well, but he's just connected and fast and accurate and honest, transparent. And here is the truth. We have people listening right now, for instance, who are New Orleans Saints fans. Peter King knows more about the Jets, the Bears, the Chargers, and the Seahawks than you. You know more about the Saints. It's the Peter King theory. The 31 other teams, he knows more than all of about my team. We're on in Jacksonville. All right, there, Larry in Jacksonville, you're listening right now. By the way, Larry, thank you. You know more about the Jags than Peter King. Peter King knows more about the Vikings and Lions than you. Because he's supposed to, because he can call, who is it, Rick Spielman? And yeah, he can call Rick Spielman in Minnesota and go, hey, who are you going to draft? And he goes, I think the Vikings like Dalvin Cook. He can do that. You can't. But you know more about the Jags. Because literally, Larry in Jacksonville, you have watched every single snap that team has had since like 1999. When you were eight and your family moved to Jacksonville and you went to your first game and you got a Mark Brunell jersey. Was Mark Brunell still there in 99? Dan is nodding yes, but he didn't sell it. So there's.
My knowledge of Jacksonville Jaguars trivia is pretty limited.
You didn't sell that. So he got a Mark Brunell jersey, and then an R.J. Soward jersey, and then a Matt Jones jersey, and then a Justin Blackmon jersey, and then he quit buying jerseys. But he still watches the games, every last snap from that NFL franchise of the past 21 seasons. He's seen every one of them. Peter King has not. And Larry in Jacksonville obsesses over the draft and free agency and everything else. So that's the Peter King theory. This is what happened to me this morning. I sent text messages to three media members who know way more than I ever will about LSU. I got three different answers. As to who's going, as to who the head coach in Baton Rouge wants to win this job. I said we got a real life quarterback battle, and that's not new. That's not news. Ed Orgeron said that himself yesterday with LSU's first practice. He also confirmed that Max Johnson took the first reps with the first team. Miles Brennan went second, then TJ Finley. But he also said, this is a quote, it's an open competition. Any of these guys can win it, so let's go compete. And he said, Max got the first reps with the first team line. You can throw to any receiver. I don't care who you hand off to. I care about who they – if you want the indicator, if you ever want to see who might be inching ahead, see who's working with the first team offensive line. Nobody else on the field matters. You have walk-ons at wide receiver. Which offensive line is the guy working with? And he said Max got the first reps with the first line. And then Miles, et cetera. He said, but everybody got equal reps, and everyone will until someone separates. Well, I think TJ Finley's going to separate first, like the wrong way. In fact, I think that's probably already happened. In my opinion, even though, again, three folks in the media who know more than I do, and the three answers I got, because I'll read you the text. My text message. All right. You have an opinion or flat-out knowledge of who Coach O really wants to win the quarterback job. First response, Johnson or Brennan, those are the only actual candidates. And there wasn't an answer. Second guy said Johnson, third guy said Brennan. So I got three separate answers. One who just identified, well, it ain't Finley. I was like, well, yes, and water is wet. And then I got a Johnson, got a Miles Brennan. My opinion is Max Johnson. Now, there is a lot of evidence, actually, of the breadcrumb variety that would lead someone to think maybe Miles Brennan is who Coach O really wants to win this job. And so he's motivating Miles. He's given Max the first reps, which no matter what you say to the media afterwards, I'm a fourth-year player, and this guy, three years younger than me? This guy is getting the first reps with the first team line? No matter what the head coach says afterwards, the quarterback's like, I don't hear it. I know that I wasn't out there first. So there is plenty of evidence to suggest that, no, he's using all this to motivate Miles Brennan. And then say, oh, no, y'all don't read anything into it, knowing full well that Miles Brennan and everybody else will. I don't say this, and I swear, I'm not trying to be snarky here. I don't think Ed Ogeron develops his psychological strategy to that depth. I think he's pretty straightforward. I think he's pretty what you see with Coach O is what you get. I don't think there's a lot of mind games going on there. So that's why I take that, he's just trying to play some mind games and motivate Miles Brennan. I've never known subtlety and nuance to really be cards that Coach O deals out regularly. Now, the best guy will win. I didn't say, and I know who's going to win because I do not. But I think I have an idea of who the head coach wants to win, and it's the left-hander. It's the kid who looked like he was a little bit older than 18 years old facing that defense and that – it was still talented. That defense and that environment that late in the season with, hey, we've only got three dubs and we're supposed to lose tonight. Oh, yeah, that crew next week. What did Ole Miss the final game? Yeah, that crew next week, they score about 45 a game. Oh, yeah, and our defense stinks. So this could be a 3-7 season and – we went 3-7. Yeah, I don't remember that freshman, Max Johnson. They were playing him at the end of the year. Folks, that's how it was supposed to go. That is how the script was supposed to unfold. My God, what a waste of a season. Now this guy's playing. Except that ain't how it went. Max Johnson walked out there. And I was talking before the show with Dan because, again, he grew up in an LSU family. I would have sworn I remembered a bad mustache on Max Johnson, but Dan did not. That kid didn't look 18 to me. He looked like he was – and he didn't play perfectly. I'm not talking about – I'm talking about how he carried himself, and I mean after the hit, and I mean after the fumbled snap, and I mean after the third straight three and out. How the kid carried himself. Didn't look like he was 18. And I'm not even throwing in the details of how the season was going and the injuries and the opt-outs, quits. The coaching situation there, which it wasn't good. What do you mean it wasn't good? Well, Coach O told all of us after the season it wasn't good when he cleaned house. So you got all of this swirling around you. And Max Johnson in a teapot. Just hanging out, throwing dimes. That's who I believe. Now, again, three media members. I got one of them who shares the opinion. And if there's only two candidates, I don't know how three people can have three different opinions. There's only two choices. But my opinion, choice of the head coach is the left-handed redshirt freshman.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
We're not competing against Clemson right now. We're competing against ourselves. We're spotting the ball, and I see JD across from me. I see Devontae across from me. I don't see their D-line. So right now we're competing against ourselves. We're understanding what we need to do, how we want to get better, how our group, our offensive line can get better, how the offense can get better. We're not really just sitting here and saying, okay, well, Clemson did this today, and we have to do this. Like, they were prepared, and we have ours.
Georgia offensive line coach Jamari Sawyer? How old is that guy? How mature is that guy? My goodness. He sounded, that was coach speak right there. I love that.
Yeah, he's kind of an old soul. I mean, you got to remember, before he signed with Georgia, he said one of his offensive line influences was Larry Allen. And my response to him was, you weren't even born when Larry Allen played.
You've got to have a little head about you to find out who came before. That's exactly right. If someone were to say, like a quarterback like that, who was it? The kid from Tennessee that just committed to Alabama, was it Ty Simpson that committed to Alabama? If he is 17 right now, he'd have been born in 2004. Is that right? Did I do that correctly? All right. Who was your quarterback influence? Donovan McNabb. What? He was at Syracuse like 8 years before you were born. That is impressive. I was at Conference USA Media Days, Memphis, in 2011. And that, if you go back and look at the quarterbacks in Conference USA in 2011, because what the AAC is now, it's like what everybody in Conference USA graduated into. It was like relegation, or was it promotion is the other side of it in soccer? Yeah, it's like they got promoted up into the AAC. If you go back and look at the quarterbacks who were in the Conference USA in 2011, it was Case Keenum. G.J. Kenny, who there's four people listening who know who he is, but he was good. I think Austin Davis still at Southern Miss. He played in the league. It was slinging the ball around. Rakeem Cato, maybe? So quarterbacks everywhere. And I noticed that like eight of them were on the Davey O'Brien watch list. Not a one of them had ever heard of Davey O'Brien. Now, that's particularly disrespectful today, but March 17th, but none of them had heard of Davey O'Brien. And so Jamari Sawyer there, what he was talking about was that they're not paying attention to Clemson yet, that they just started practice, what's today, Wednesday? They had their first day on the field yesterday, and so he's like, we're concentrating on us. And when he talked about the people, the guys across from him, we had maybe it was Roddy on. We were talking to somebody from covers Georgia about that defensive line and the fact that it's not just a big guy who can't move, very limited value there. They've got athletes. I was about to say they got big guys who are athletic. That's not – they have athletes who weigh 315 pounds. Think of it that way. They have an athlete who somebody put in Xerox and hit, like, increase, like, you know, print 120%. So that's who he's going about. He says, that's my concern right now. What is he going to be this year? Dan, I'm going to bring Dan in. You cover the team. You're still connected out there. What's he going to play?
Senior. You talking about position or classification? I think he's going to be left tackle. I think when you got a guy that is as old as he is, that's played as much as he has, he's got Isaiah Wynn written all over him. That I know that now you want 6'6", 6'5", and above to be the left tackle for you. But he's big enough, he's strong enough, and he's lengthy enough to be able to play left tackle and play it pretty well.
And really, really, really smart, and he's tough and, you know, big enough, all that stuff. He's not like that, you know, Jonathan Ogden blocks out the sun, but you're right. You don't have to be. In the NFL, you do. I mean, that's the bottom
point, yeah.
Ain't a lot of 6'2 left tackles in the NFL.
Sure.
But the reason I'm asking like that, and I've already talked about it, and there are so many examples that have come before, and Kirby's job is not – his job isn't to put players in the NFL. His job is to win games in Athens on Saturdays. That's Kirby's job, to win championships in that program, not help the Arizona Cardinals have a better draft pick. Kirby knows as well as anybody in college football that part of how he achieves that goal is by putting a heck of a lot of guys into the NFL. So he knows how it works. I think Sawyer's the best guard, or as good a guard as there is in the SEC. I think that's the case. He could be all conference. I mean, maybe he's all American. And maybe that happens at tackle if he plays there. But I have always – see, if he's your best left guard and you play him at tackle, then whoever comes in after him – all right, well, now you're the left guard. You're playing your best guard out of position, and then as a result, you're playing a backup at left guard. So it kind of messes with – two spots, because we say, well, left tackle is more important, and Lord knows it should be. But you're Georgia. You should have some capable bodies. What's up, Dan?
No, I liked his line, and that's going to be the thing, too, is I think all spring fans are going to be asking Amarius Mims, where is he at? Because that's going to be the
Dan
sexy
Jones.
One. It's going to be, go ahead, take your lumps now with a true freshman, have him get ready, and have him be the future for you. And I don't know if you saw this, Jamari Sawyer's line about him yesterday when he met with the media was, I think he came out of the womb at 6'8". So, I mean, it just shows you he's size on size.
Huge.
And that's the thing, is that you definitely want to be able to have as much size, as much strength up front as you can, but smarts has to come into it as well. I mean, you have to be a very heady player in
order
to
pull it off. Absolutely.
Yeah,
good.
Absolutely. And that's the thing too, is, I mean, I think there are countless other examples. You know, Sam Baker, who played in the NFL, was an undersized left tackle.
Short arms.
Dwayne Brown, the same deal.
Yes.
A guy who has been a Pro Bowl left tackle, who was a converted tight end in college too. So, I mean, the examples are endless. Chuck, really quick, you know, it was one of those things that you were talking about, Miles Brennan and Max Johnson. Permission to go the other way? Because usually I blaze my own path here.
Oh, yeah, you've got a media member who's on your – no matter what you say, whether it's Johnson, Brennan, or I don't know, you have a media member who agrees with you.
I got a threefold argument for Coach O that he can not only sell the team on it, but it also is what I believe is getting his way. Is number one, Miles Brennan didn't do anything to lose the job. He got injured, out for the year. He still played on that injury. And to those guys, that means something in that locker room when you tell them exactly what he was still playing on, that torn abdominal muscle in that Mizzou game. Number two, I think it's also, Chuck, it's a message to the rest of your team, because what is the other thing that Coach O over the last couple of years has had issue with? The portal and guys opting out. Is it tells the guys, hey, if you're not there yet, a little patience. Trust me. If you put in the work and you show that you can do it, I'll put you in there. I'll give you a shot. And then number three, I don't think he's putting Miles Brennan on that leadership council if he doesn't have designs of Miles Brennan being the guy when it's all said and done. Because who's going to listen to, yeah, hey, the rah-rah guy who's our backup quarterback?
Yeah, Miles Brennan, here's my opinion. He's another right answer, and that's good for LSU after so many years of not having any.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com. Then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I promise you, if I do this show for 100 million years, I will never be casual with your money. So when I tell you, go to LandryFootball.com and get it says right here, best deal, big sale, 50% off. I paid more than you have to pay, and I am a happy, happy customer, and I actually get to write it off because of business expense, but I would not be casual with telling you how to spend your money ever. It is the single best site I visit, and I visit it every single day. I want to welcome on now the man who created it. It wasn't there, he said, and now it is. Chris Landry, former coach, scout, and administrator, college, the NFL. What's up, Chris?
Chuck, how are you, man? Busy time of year, but good to be with you as always.
Yeah, it really is, because there's not a combine, but there's a bunch of pro days, and there's also spring practice and spring games and all kinds of stuff going on. Before we get into that, talk about all that you can find at LandryFootball.com for anybody who goes there.
Well, all of that, and obviously right now NFL free agency is taking center stage. So if you're an NFL fan, for example, we've got had it up now for a few weeks, the free agent board. Every player in the league graded by position, which is important because the free agent board changes. A player gets signed, you know, Williams signed today with San Francisco. He's not on the market when the league year starts at 4 p.m. Eastern time. You got to know all that. You got to know how every player graded in the league. So you want to know where roster value is. You want to know where player value is. Without knowing who's going to be a free agent and who is, we've got all that for you. But then we have the initial free agent list and where the tiers are. And so we've got all that. We've got all the breakdowns heading into free agency for each and every one of the teams. Obviously, getting ready to break out all the draft boards. And it'll be, once we put free agency to bed mostly this week, it's going to be, you know, nonstop NFL draft boards, and all the work that we've been doing there, getting that up there. And, of course, we've got our college notebooks each and every day with a lot of nuggets on the draft, on recruiting, same with the NFL. So if you think about what goes on in football at each step during the 12 months, that's what we parallel, just like an NFL team does. Yep. It, just like a college, yep, team does it. That's what we're doing. Spring practice, recruiting, NFL draft, free agency. And that's what we're all about, because that's what we do as a consultant. So,
and I'm a little offended we didn't push the Twitch TV a little more there, because
yes, Twitch TV. I didn't have time. I forgot about Twitch. You're on TV.
I'm waving. If you want Twitch TV, LandryFootball.com, all the way over to the right, Twitch TV.
Yes. I'm working on fumes right now, so I'm not even sure I'm on. Is this Chuck I'm talking to? No, I'm just teasing. I do know that. Yes, Twitch TV, all the podcasts. You got it all, and you can catch Chuck. The highlight of our channel, seriously, is the midday show that you're listening to right now.
I appreciate you spreading that around like butter, man. And the cool thing, why I'm going to add this with the website, you can be an Ohio State fan or an Ohio Bobcats fan, and if anything relevant to how your team will perform on the field happens, you get it. So it doesn't matter. Everybody gets to play a little bit. Chris, let's jump into this. LSU is on the field now, and I opined that, yes, I believe Ed Orgeron, that this is an open competition at quarterback. Something about it, and I could be totally wrong, but something about it tells me he wants Max Johnson to win. And I don't know that, but just give me your overview, not necessarily of what will happen, but just the groundwork now.
Well, I don't know about what he wants. I mean, I think, like, as you know, most coaches want whoever wins that job and takes it. And, you know, I think it's Max Johnson's job to lose. I think he has the more physical ability. But, you know, it really is about Brennan staying healthy and progressing. it is literally, it's winnable. It's, I think either one of those can win it. If it's not either one of those, that means they both just, you know, really struggled and you got real problems there. Because I think they feel like they've got two guys, obviously one that didn't play most of last year due to injuries. And they've got a guy that really, when things started to kind of get tough in critical moments of games, even though it wasn't a good year, he stepped up a little bit better and was a little bit more poised. So I certainly, in terms of knowing where to go with the football and understanding things, Brennan is ahead. Johnson is a little bit more physical. So the way I would classify it is what can Johnson, how quickly can he progress with the understanding of everything, decisions at the line of scrimmage, being able to absorb things. That'll determine whether he gets the job or not. But I think eventually he wins it. I just don't know when that point is going to be.
Is Will Rogers, quote, the right fit for what Mike Leach wants? What did you see last year with that freshman quarterback and that offense?
I think he probably is because, you know, Mike is very much wants his type of guy. I mean, everything is kind of how he wants it, which is not it's not the wrong thing to do as a coach, but Mike is not very flexible with how he does things. So he's got to have a certain type of guy that kind of sees it and has a vision, sees it like he does, as opposed to, say, like a guy like Dan Mullen, that whatever his quarterback can do, he'll squeeze it out of him, and he'll do more of this and less of that, and he'll morph things. With Leach, everybody has to adjust to him. I think because of that, and he's of the guys that are there that have been in that building, he's the one that he feels like he can mold a little bit more towards what he likes. And that is obviously gets the ball out fairly quickly, throws it accurately. You know, there's a minimum amount of routes in that offense. It has to be run to perfection. I mean, what they don't do in terms of complexity, they do emphasize repetitiveness of doing it with the limited amount that they do. It must be done to perfection. And if it's not, then they struggle. And that's when the ball starts going places where it shouldn't.
Let's go over to Tuscaloosa. And something's supposed to jump off the page at me when I ask this question every year. And I don't know what the answer is right now. Who's the best offensive lineman in Tuscaloosa right now?
Wow, that's a really good question. I haven't thought of it that way.
I always know the answer, and usually I'm like, well, it's either Jonah Williams or it's Cam Robinson. I don't know. Chris Owens?
Well, you know, here's the thing. If I look at – I don't have my grades. I'm going to go on memory here. So last year, Dickerson graded the highest, gone. Neil graded high, Leatherwood high. I would say actually probably the guards. The McLaughlin kid did really good in very, very limited action. Mm-hmm. Brown, Icky Arm, trying to go ahead. Bowles, Deontay Brown, those are the guys. So your point being, yeah, and that's why it was such a lot of young guys coming in, I don't want to put those guys in that position because having not done anything yet, even in spring. No, it's a fair point. Yet it would be a panic time most everywhere else, but in Tuscaloosa where they just, they'll figure it out. And it's not as simple as that, but they probably will. There's some talent there. And I will say of the guys, I thought the interior was pretty good, and I think what's coming in on the perimeter is pretty good. But putting that all together is going to be that's what Doug Marone's going to get the big payday to do.
Yeah, and that was like, I don't even know if the answer is the point. It's that I can ask this, and I'm like, I got no idea.
Yeah, it's not a definite. It's not like Leatherwood's coming back. You know, it's not like there's that one guy
Could be Brockemeyer. I mean, who knows?
Well, it could be. And I will refrain from, but it absolutely, you could see him playing well. As I said, I don't want to overreact because he just didn't play two games, but the McLaughlin kid's a really good player. Watch out for the limited snaps that he had. And I'd say it's a dozen snaps. Got a lot of ability. So, no, I really do like the snap ratio of the interior guys a little bit more returning than the tackle guys.
All right, I'm going to ask another question here, and I swear I'm not trying. It's my alma mater. I love my school. I'm not trying to be snarky or set you like throw you a softball to smack over the fence. In an entirely different way, who's Auburn's best offensive lineman?
That's equally tough.
Council, if he's healthy?
Yeah, probably. I'm trying to think who.
Ham?
You know, Manning, I'm just trying to think last year. Manning, yeah. Tate Johnson, Broderick Ham, Brams. Those were the guys that graded out the best. Jones. Those are the guys that graded out the best on the offensive line last year. Let me say this. You're going to see, of all the things that you're going to see improvements on, coaching-wise, offensive line may be the biggest improvement. It was, in my opinion, byproduct of the offense that they ran. It was the worst recruited to and developed offensive line in major college football. Auburn has been for a while. So, by proxy, if they just spend all year trying to figure some things out with the way Brian and that staff do it, it will be immeasurably better just by the fact that they were so poor in understanding pass protection concepts. They'll just be better from a technique standpoint. Even if they're not better physically, even if they get overmatched, even if they can't figure it out for a year, they're going to be better. That's how poorly coached they have been on the offensive line and why they have struggled so much in protection and quarterback development and passing game problems. It is all encompassing, but it starts and the focal point has been the offensive line. That's been the worst offensive line coaching and developing in major college football over the past several years through Gus's tenure.
Which, of course, is a major component of this last question before we take a break. If I get a quick overview of what you think Bo Nix can turn into. And I know we've talked about this before, but I've realized I go back and I watch some games and I'm like, it's not even over the course of a season. Over the course of one possession, he's in Anchorage, he's in Key West. I mean, I see him like ripping one down the seam just past the defensive back's ear hole. And then I'm like, no, it was a clean pocket, Bo. Hang out for a while. Like on first down and third down, I see that.
He needs to be completely rebuilt. And, you know, much like we talk in the NFL, yeah, you know, I telling the folks, the Jets don't know what the heck they have in Sam Darnold. They have been so poor around him that you can't evaluate. With Bo Nix, yeah, sure, fans will say he's awful. Yeah, the results are awful, but how they got there, he needs to be completely rebuilt, and the answer is we don't know what they have, and it'll take a while. And unfortunately for him, he may not see the bat. Plays every game he possibly is eligible to play. He may not see the back end of this, but I will say this, that from a coaching development standpoint, that was one area specifically, offensive line, quarterback play, teaching of the running game, balance. That's what was so good about what they did at Boise. It's a different talent level, no question, but the coaching will be much better. I don't know how much better the team will be, but the coaching will be a whole lot better.
This is what you get, folks, firsthand, directly from Chris and his entire staff, podcast, the written word, all of it, video, you name it, you can get it at LandryFootball.com. We're going to take a very short break, come back, wrap up with Chris on a Wednesday next.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
You're listening to me, and courtesy of this fella, you also can watch if you choose. No accounting for taste, but if you choose, you want to watch, you can. Twitch TV at LandryFootball.com. Let's jump back into it with my every Wednesday bottom of hour one guest. It is Chris Landry. Chris, we are back into it, and we're bouncing over to the SEC East right now. And I was talking about this concept earlier in the week. Emory Jones, I know what his capabilities are outside the pocket, mobility, all that other stuff, but he is a big, much thicker kid now than when he was a freshman, and I think Dan Mullen will do pocket things with him this year as well.
Yeah, I think that's obviously, if you're going to be a player that in this era of football in the passing game, you've got to be able to make some plays from within the pocket. You know, the ability to move the pocket and have half rolls and all are great, but it does take away half the feel, and you want to be able to make defenses prepare for multiple things. And I do think that it's to me one of the more interesting storylines is to see the progression of Emory, and with Dan's background with quarterbacks, to say, okay, I'm curious to see what he can do with him. He is a bigger kid, and he can do some damage. And, you know, you kind of in that respect, he's getting a little bit bigger, not maybe Dak big, but he's, you know, kind of got some of those things that you say, you know what, maybe he can do some of those things as a runner. And yet, if he develops a little bit more as a passer, it'll be different than last year, as I mentioned. It'll have a different look to it. From the pocket, but I think they can still be effective and combine some of that with the motion, with the outside the pocket stuff.
This is not criticism at all. I think it's just kind of a fair measuring stick. Damian Pierce, he more Kelvin Taylor or Fred Taylor?
I don't know that. I don't know.
And Kelvin was a tough SEC between the tackles. Lower, I mean, he'd run into you. Fred Taylor is an all-time great.
Yeah, no, Fred had kind of special qualities. I wouldn't want to put him there. I would say maybe a little bit stylistically, and that's where you're going with the comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say almost split the difference. I think he's got a little bit of both. I'd have to put a little thought into some other guy. It may be some innocuous guy that wasn't as productive, but skill set wise would maybe a little bit of a better fit in my mind. But I would say split the difference between the two because he's got a little bit of both. But, you know, reaching Fred's level overall,
it's high cotton,
you know,
man.
It's going to be difficult, no different.
So maybe Siatric Faison then. We'll settle on him.
Maybe Faison, yeah.
What about Justin Shorter, your opinion? Because this is the truth. He had to get in line last year. And I don't think – I mean, a five-star receiver, 6'5", he ain't ever had to get in line for the football in his life last year. Well, this is the SEC, and this is Gainesville getting in line. But I saw some of him last year, and I think I like it. He's not – he doesn't strike me as overly fast, but tell me what you think.
I thought he was productive last year, and I think, you know, if you look at him, you look at his body, I mean, who does he remind you of? I mean, just his body.
Who that?
Remind you of Pitts. I mean, he's got that same type of build.
Yeah.
You know?
I was thinking receivers, you're right, which I should have been thinking with Pitts because that's what he was.
Yeah, I mean, that's his body type's the same. Now, I think the growth potential is about the same. So, you know, receiver, tight end, nomenclature, it's up to Justin to whether he wants to be that slot guy, the big slot guy, which would Pitts was. That's what he is, and it's why he's going to go high in the draft, because he is not a tight end. He is a detached Y. He's an offensive weapon, and I don't look. I want to see Shorter become a guy that can do more and more of those things. But body type wise, that's who he's like.
All right, let's finish. Let's head out to Tallahassee. And I want to talk about the running backs, because I was discussing this, I think it was yesterday. And, you know, Toa Fili, the homegrown product, and the two transfers, that looks like a real college football, robust, diversely skilled running back room. And, I mean, when it was still, you know, one man standing with Cam Akers, they got production. But they haven't had this kind of depth and real talent, I believe, in a while. Just talk about what could happen with those three guys.
Yeah, look, I'm going to tell you, they are, along with the tight end, that grayed out pretty well. Those were the three of the top four highest graded players on their offense for me last year. The tackle, Taylor, played pretty well. And the other, the Corbin kid. No, they're. I think you nailed it. That's where the strength is. That's what they want to do. That's kind of the identity they want to create. They want to create line of scrimmage improvement in running the football. And obviously, that's a big part, and maybe an understated part, of what that offensive success is all about. Getting backs in space, getting to the line of scrimmage quickly, gashing people, and then obviously pulling the ball down and throwing it. That's what that offense is all about. That's how it's supposed to look. That's how it looked at Memphis, and that's how they want it to look here.
Okay, that's so funny you bring that up, because everybody, oh, he was at Memphis. That's throw it all around. I was like, no, that's Kenny Gainwell and Daryl Henderson.
That's right.
I mean, that's plow horses.
Yeah, it's quick tempo, get to the line of scrimmage, run the football, pull it down, throw it off of that. That's what they want to do. It requires tempo, requires proficiency in zone block, and they've been so bad up front, and, you know, and just overall attitude-wise. But they've got some backs that can make plays in space. And one of the reasons why the production of all those guys are so good is because that scheme and that system kind of breeds it. Builds really good running backs. It doesn't make them. It doesn't, you know, it's not that they're limited in ability. No, it's just what it does. It creates opportunities for backs to have success. It's the tempo. It's the blocking scheme. It's getting guys in space, getting guys misaligned that snap. You know, it just right run to daylight, make a play against a matchup that's favorable. It's the running game matchups that's the answer to the pass game matchup. Hey, look, let's put you a matchup against a guy that can't cover you. Well, they do that in the running game. That's what Mike has done pretty well throughout his career, and that's what he wants to do here in Tallahassee.
All right, we got a minute, so you can, actually 45 seconds, so you got to be quick here. Keyshawn Helton is a name that some people may know, but this is an unusual thing, like the Alabama offensive line. Who's the best receiver in Tallahassee? You got 30 seconds.
Wow, yeah, because, you know, if you look at the best guy last year, you know, gone, and I think it's an underrated player. I would give the nod, you know, the Wilson kid's a pretty good player.
Yeah, Pokey.
I think that would probably be the guy. That's a big question mark. And the other guys, the Warren Thompson kid, the Douglas kid, the Portier kid, the Robinson kid, all those guys didn't grade out nearly as well this year. Jordan Young.
Yeah,
not a good answer.
Yeah, it's kind of like Tuscaloosa's. Like, the point is, I've never asked that before. Chris, always great to have you, brother. Do it in 7 days.
Hey, look forward to it. Thank you, buddy.
All right, Chris Landry again from LandryFootball.com. Visit with him at bottom of hour one every single Wednesday.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like.
You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.